welcome back to Two Weird Didn't Watch, the show where we make fun of movies that we have not seen based on nothing but their weird descriptions.
I'm Brantley.
I'm Albert. I don't know if I know how to do this anymore. I don't know if it matters.
That's the opening. We did it.
Yes. So before I get started with the movie today, I have like an ethical question for you.
Awesome. I love quandaries.
It's related to our experience here, our endeavor to make... to read off descriptions of movies.
Uh-huh.
How important is it that a human wrote the description of the movie to you?
I feel that's part of the fun.
Okay.
This is an AI written...
I was interested in finding out if I could get AI to write the type of description that we're interested in. Where I literally went to ChatGPT with the title of this movie, and I was like, can you write a description of this movie and emphasize the absurd elements?
Okay.
And I realized at that point, after having asked ChatGPT to do this, that ChatGPT is the world's smartest sixth grader.
Okay.
Because, I mean that in the sense that it knows a bunch of stuff, like information and facts.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really good at writing.
Okay.
It can write a lot of different things in a lot of interesting different ways, but none of them are... Well, I don't know about none of them. This wasn't that good.
Okay. Like, quality-wise, or...
Well,
actual quality, or is it good for us?
Let me scroll up here.
Okay.
So, I actually asked this thing to do two films. It started both of them in the incredibly obvious book report style, the story revolves around.
We've had a few of those, just that were ostensibly written by people.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying you quit, but it's not the kind of writing that you're going to get excited about.
No, we've made fun of it numerous times.
If you do it twice in a row for two different movies, it seems like you're not really trying that hard, Mr. GPT. I could ask you
maybe they just really like that phrase. Like, I know when I first read the, what was it, The Outsiders, where at the end it turns out that the book was written by the main character, that blew my mind as a kid. I wanted to bet everything I wrote for a while.
Oh, and it was like, it was kind of a twist?
Yeah, where he like sits down at the end and starts writing, and it's the exact beginning of the book. I'm like, that's the best beginning you could do ever. Everything should do that. No. Variety's good.
I specifically said, emphasis on the more absurd elements of the film. ChatGPT takes this and says, absurdity seeps into every corner of the film.
Ooh.
Beginning with this, like, no, I didn't want you to tell me that it was absurd. I just wanted you to, like, include the fact that there was some weird stuff more than, like, boring things.
Also, the main character had brown hair.
Yes.
And wore clothing.
Another time it says, the climax of the film reaches a crescendo of absurdity. ChatGPT, just tell me what was absurd. Don't say it was absurd. I know it's absurd.
Crescendo of Absurdity is a fun name for a ska band.
Yeah? So that's where I'm at. I'm worried that the human-written one won't give us the sort of fun details that I really want for this movie, but it might be interesting in ways that the computer would not be.
Do you have computer one and one written by human?
Yes. Do you have time for both? Because they're both like
a
page long.
We could compare and contrast.
All right. So
for the same movie?
The name of the movie is Death Spa.
Is this a sequel to Deathbed, the Bed That Eats?
No, it is not. However, it is very, very similar to... Oh, I've lost my train of thought now. What is the other one that we did? Killer Workout.
I don't remember that one. But we've done a lot of movies.
Killer Workout was the killer, like... of whatchamacallit, like a serial killer possibly with supernatural stuff in a gym.
This doesn't sound familiar.
That's okay. It's been like 3 years at least since we did it. It's entirely possible this is the same movie accidentally. I don't think it is. No.
That would be a great, like, for April, we just do like the same movie but with like different titles.
There are some of the, a lot of these that have different titles.
Yes.
Okay. So, let us do what you have said. Let me open this in a new window.
A whole new window.
So I can have them side by side. All right, give me a second here.
New way to Google things. Don't know what to click. or where the Lynx are gonna send us. That's all I got.
That's good. Thank you. All right, so there's the death spa from the human, and then down here we'll have... I did edit this, by the way, so I removed...
Death spa from human just sounds like a very specific sequel, sorry.
I removed ChatGPT's annoying, like, the absurdity crescendos, or, like, just cut all that out.
They wanted this word. It was a key, clearly it was like a key vocab.
Yeah, no, guys, that's not what I meant. Oh, how do I get this to reflow? Come on. What do you want first, human or computer?
Computer.
All right. The story revolves around Starbody Health Spa, an ultra-modern and high-tech fitness center that promises the ultimate wellness experience. Picture a gym filled with robotic exercise machines, computerized weightlifting equipment, and a talking computer system that controls the entire facility.
So Drago's training room from Rocky IV. Got it.
But with AI. Which we don't actually hear.
We're very early into the movie for a tangent, but there is a movie, I can't remember what it's called, that I watched in like the late 90s, early 2000s, that was like a office building that was controlled by an AI, and one dude kept breaking the rules, so she just became a murderer. Because you get tired of him breaking the rules. He kept trying to kill him, but kept killing everybody around him.
Okay.
I don't think it was supposed to be a comedy. Anyways, continue.
The last line of this paragraph, it's a technological wonderland that would make any fitness enthusiast do a double take. All right, now here's the human's first paragraph. After closing hours in the Starbody Health Spa in Los Angeles, Laura Danvers is mysteriously locked inside the sauna, which fills with chlorine gas, inducing chemical burns on her skin and eyes, nearly killing her. Her boyfriend, Michael Evans, the club owner, whose wife, Catherine... See, this is what ChatGPT doesn't do. It doesn't have way too many personal names. I've got to say, I got to give the opening to the computer just because it's like, there's wacky exercise equipment, which I did ask for.
This is interesting because the first one was like, the computer's like, here's the setting. This is the details. This is the information you need to have. Whereas the human's just like, here's the stuff that happens and how bad it is.
Yes. First scene, person dies. All right.
Computer, opening scene. There's a gym and it has cool stuff.
Yes.
Beep boop.
Her boyfriend, Michael Evans, the club owner whose wife, Catherine, committed suicide the previous year, is notified and rushes to the hospital. Man, that's a... The club features a state-of-the-art computer system which controls its various workout machines and other features and is managed by David, Catherine's twin brother. The club is, not the machine. David is not an AI.
Right. So the club's managed by David, whose twin brother, or the girlfriend who is dating the owner, right? Or is he not related at all?
Okay, let me try to figure this out again. This is, Laura Danvers, mysteriously locked inside the sauna, gets burned. Her boyfriend is Michael Evans.
Right.
The club owner.
Okay, so for some reason I thought he was in charge of the club.
His wife committed suicide, so he's on the rebound with Laura Danvers, who's been burned, and then... Catherine committed suicide. Her brother, who's a twin, manages the club. So there's the owner and the manager, who were both related to Catherine.
Okay.
Who's dead now.
The owner's twin sister was married to a dude.
No, the manager's twin sister is married to the owner.
So that dude is the owner? The boyfriend?
Yes.
Okay.
David is just the manager. We haven't established if he has a love interest yet.
Cool. Anyways, manager's twin sister married to owner committed suicide. Owner is now just dating this chick who was then attacked by building.
It's been like a year. That's fine.
No, that's fine. I'm like...
You're trying to work it out?
It's setting it up like there's this like weird interpersonal thing that it's just like...
For the person who watched this, they're like, I need to establish all these people and how they're connected because... You're going to care about that later. All right, second paragraph.
Given it to the AI so far, because it's less confusing.
Yes. The second paragraph. As the spa's patrons soon discover, the technology turns against them in increasingly outlandish ways. The computer system malfunctions, causing weights to fly through the air and treadmills to go into overdrive, sending hapless gym-goers hurtling into walls. Saunas become death traps, with temperatures skyrocketing to lethal levels and steam turning into scalding hot blasts.
So, that's bad. Why do the machines, ignoring what the AI can do, why do the machines have the capability of doing that?
Of throwing weights at people?
Hurling people in the walls. Like, the treadmill, you can, like, okay, maybe they just, like, stumble and they, you know, fall.
Right, it, like, it but should the, have the, an overdrive.
The sauna being able to cook hot enough to cook a person alive, because even the AI doesn't go wrong. Some things just break.
Right.
It should not get that hot.
I will say.
OSHA's a thing.
I wanna defend the ability of the sauna to do this, because I had a switch break on my stove, and it broke in such a way that the burner was just on full blast. The stove needed to be unplugged. I wouldn't have designed the switch to be able to break that way, but apparently...
No.
It could happen.
Yes, but the...
But there is a functionality to the burner being on full blast.
The stove is made to get to a certain... cook food. The sauna is there to make people sweat, or just because they like hot water.
Yeah. That tracks. I'm feeling what you're saying.
It should not be able to broil you, is what I'm saying.
You ready for a human second paragraph?
Yes.
Los Angeles Police Department Detectives Sergeant Stone and Lieutenant Flesher arrive at Starbody to investigate Laura's accident.
Okay.
Yep, that makes sense. Shortly after, club patron Darla is nearly injured when the bolts holding the pool's diving board break loose. Later, Robert is brutally killed when a weightlifting machine malfunctions, tearing him apart at his limbs. I want to point out, by the way, we don't know if ChatGPT is telling us the truth about the thrown weights.
That's fair.
This thing hasn't watched the movie.
That's okay.
Right? It knows things.
Is it hooked up to the internet? Because it could Google, like, CYC breakdowns.
So there's a thing that ChatGPT does that people, I've recently heard about this, where there's people having their minds blown because they said you can give ChatGPT the URL of a YouTube video, and ChatGPT will give you a synopsis of the YouTube video. How cool is that? Do you know how ChatGPT does this?
Does it read the comics or comments?
Well, it might do that too, but it also just reads the title and the description of the video. It does not watch the video.
Yeah.
So it doesn't know what happens in the video. It just knows what you told people that happened in the video.
So did you deliberately pick a video for this experiment we're doing, or a movie that is about an AI?
No, that was not intentional.
Okay.
It's a happy accident.
Happy accident, or it would have been very clever. You should have lied.
I'm sorry. I'm not that clever. I'm not even clever enough to lie about how clever I am.
You're too honest. Stop it.
But the reason I'm bringing up that the ChatGPT didn't watch this was because we took issue with the weightlifting machine throwing weights. This says that the weightlifting machine tears one of the guys apart. So, yeah. However, the next sentence, Marcy Hewitt, another patron, is brutally killed in the locker room by a spear. Which... AI-controlled spear? It's really bringing it full circle with humanity, I gotta say, if that's how that's working. Go ahead.
I don't go to the gym a lot. I'm a chubby dude that likes food, and I'm lazy. You're more into health. How many times have you seen spears at your local gym?
I don't go to the gym either, really.
So we don't know. They could just be outside.
All
right, I don't have enough information to doubt this.
To make a case... I could say maybe they have a track and field thing where there's a javelin throw.
I mean, that or... I mean, it's possible it's like a high-tech executive. Like, look what we have indoors. It's air conditioned. Or it could just be like the bar from the weightlifting just speared into her.
Yeah.
And the person just misunderstood what it was. This is human, Brendan, right?
This is the human now.
Right, yeah.
Michael brings Laura, still wearing bandages... This is still the human. Yeah. Over her injured eyes to the spa. Laura blindly goes searching for her things inside her locker. There, inside the locker, Marcy is visibly mutilated, but not discovered. So Marcy was killed
by spear, right?
By the spear.
But she's got bandages over her eyes, so she can't see.
So she can't see, and I guess she doesn't feel the, like, gross, cold, clammy skin and dripping blood.
I mean, it's the locker room, so she could just hit the other end.
And... No, it's in her locker.
Oh, in her locker?
That was my understanding of what they were saying. There... Inside the locker.
Okay, yeah.
Marcy's visibly mutilated but not discovered. The club manager plays a prank on them by dressing in a zombie mask. So an obvious, like...
Jump scare.
Like, you thought that they were going to discover the thing 10 minutes into the movie, but that's not how movies work.
Jump scares can work.
Yeah, but
the problem, especially with fake-out scares, is they work by capitalizing on the tension the movie's building. But when you have that, like, oh, scare, it cuts the tension.
Here's the thing, though. If you're not going to have an actual scare for another 10 minutes, and there's no, like, you don't want to kill, like the story's possibility of having the scare, I understand the use of that. You want people to get invested. You can't just have her...
It depends on the tone of the movie.
Okay.
Because if it's kind of... Like, this is, you know, slightly camp because it's, you know, AI controlling a gym. It's a little bit silly just on premise. So it's fine. But if you have something like The Conjuring and, like, every couple of minutes somebody's like, I'm in a witch mask! That would be infuriating.
But I think once a movie, at least, is okay.
Yeah.
Because scary things do happen just in regular life that aren't supernatural.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, yeah. The AI did...
It's like in Alien where they have a cat just so that they can do a cat scare towards the end. Or towards the middle of the movie. There's just a cat on the spaceship.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense also that they would just have a pet. Like,
I mean, yeah, kind of.
It's a cool world-building detail. It doesn't...
happen in any other movies.
Oh, they have pets on the thing?
No, they literally, in the second movie, she's like, you're staying here. And then they just never have cats again.
Oh, okay. I thought... They don't ever have, like... Do they have other crews or whatever, though, that have... No, nobody...
Well, the third one, they're on the planet with the bugs, and there was a dog that get... Or an ox. And then the fourth one happened. And then there was Prometheus.
Which yeah, is I was too trying busy. To think of Prometheus if they did any, like... We're bringing along...
No, Prometheus is being too... Spot. Too busy being very serious and deep and thoughtful and, like, true art, because Ridley Scott's an artiste.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to the movies we're talking about.
Yeah. I'm going to read another paragraph from The Human, because the AI was more succinct.
Okay.
Troubled by nightmares and visions of Catherine, Michael...
Catherine is wife that committed suicide, right?
Is his wife who died. Okay. Commit suicide. We assume. Michael visits Dr. Lido Moray.
Is she the AI?
I mean, I assume there's actually, like, a ghost thing happening.
Okay.
And
the first victim was his girlfriend.
Yeah, I'm going to get out ahead of this and say probably there's a mix of technology and ghost things happening. Okay. And they're going to be like, yeah, well, obviously a computer can't throw a spear, but poltergeist too. Which is stupid, because why then have the computer at all?
Well, it could be, like, the computer, like, they needed a human brain for the AI, and it's based on her, because... That's why he's the manager, because he came up with it, and it's his twin sister, and then...
So she uses the machines to kill people when it's available, and then just musters up extra ghost power otherwise?
I was thinking more she just, like, controls the place, but because she's based on his wife, she's possessive of him?
If there's a direct interference with the ghost, that at least explains, like, why is the sauna able to get so hot?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not even assuming that there's actually a ghost. Just, like, a ghost in quotes, like, ghost in the machine.
What I'm saying is there's actually going to be a literal supernatural... That's what I'm predicting. Okay. I haven't finished this yet, this reading. I'm going to say that there's an actual supernatural presence that's causing some of this to happen, and I don't like that if that's what happens.
Right.
Later... Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's a different paragraph. So the Lido Moray. Moray uses psychometry on an object owned by Catherine and divulges details to Michael about Catherine's life.
Are you familiar with psychometry?
Is it pseudoscience garbage?
I mean, we're dealing with a movie that might have ghosts.
Yes.
It is the idea that objects can have memory, or that memories from people can be imprinted on objects.
I'm fine. Why does it have to be a doctor, though? Can't
because
he go to, like,
legitimacy.
A psychic? I don't understand. Like,
when
this
does this
isn't
movie come out?
What?
When does this movie come out?
That's a great question. 1988.
I think people still kind of semi-believe that in many places. In psychics.
I'm okay with the idea of, like, there's you touch an object and you learn something about the person. I don't need it to be scientific. Right? If you have to go to the lab to make it work...
Yeah.
This is probably my, like, modern sensibilities kicking in here. Like, with all the things that... The baggage that I have and things that I've been thinking about, but I just don't like that.
I mean, you could describe it as, like, a psychic imprint, which I think Doctor Who does a few times.
Yeah, Doctor Who is, like, just...
It's science
care.
In big old quotes.
Really big quotes. Anyway, so it includes details about Catherine's life, including her paralysis after a traumatic childbirth. What? In which the infant died. Mm. Her subsequent depression and jealousy of Michael and apparent suicide by self-immolation. Michael doesn't know about any of this? That's her husband.
Yeah.
Was she like some knocked up by somebody else before she met him? What is she jealous of Michael for?
I don't know.
I really do like the second line though. It says, or the next line, last of the paragraph. Michael is skeptical of Murray's reading.
Yeah.
Believing he may have obtained the information from newspaper articles about Catherine's death.
I mean, this could have just been like, you know, I'm proving I can have these powers because I know things about you. And he's like, my wife was in the paper. Like, a week ago. Or a year ago.
The way that they said it, though, made it sound like he divulges details to Michael about this.
I mean, I could have just been a misuse of the word divulge.
I guess, yeah. I'll read the next AI paragraph now.
All right.
This is pretty brief. As the body count rises... No, is that the right one? Yes. As the body count rises, a group of intrepid individuals, including a skeptical detective, a concerned ex-husband, and a parapsychologist, band together to uncover the sinister secrets behind the spa. With each clue they unearth, the absurdity reaches new heights. I thought I got all those. I'm sorry.
So...
ChatGPT just threw in the word absurd as often as it could to make me happy.
It can be either once.
Okay.
I'm assuming the ex-husband is...
Michael.
Michael.
Skeptical detective. We did see the detective show up in the earlier paragraph, and I'm guessing the parapsychologist is
the doctor, yeah.
Lido Murray.
Okay.
So that's the most boring way to... Again, this is like I have to fill out a page of a book report type of writing. It really is sixth grade level stuff.
This is, yeah, I have a word count... I didn't do enough words. Let's break these words into smaller words that mean the same thing and expand the sentence. I have done that numerous times.
And I want to point out, they're very hype about this, and it is a cool tool, that this thing passed the bar, which just tells me lawyers don't have to write that good.
Yeah, no, I mean, they just have to speak very well.
Later, patron Linda is lured into the spa basement where she is doused with acid. As an apparition of Catherine looks on. Told you there was going to be a ghost.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, David visits the recuperating Laura, still wearing eye patches, rendering her unable to see. Why can't she just be blind? Maybe she'll get better at the end. I like the idea of Laura being blind. While she is alone at David's house... that's the end of the sentence. David visits Laura while she is alone at David's house. Murray arrives at the spa under the guise of an insurance investigator and finds Linda in the basement, her flesh decimated and barely alive.
So she's missing 1/10 of her flesh.
Yeah, the human wrote this one. That's the kind of mistake a human makes.
Yep.
Also, the type of a human mistake is that her flesh is barely alive or she's barely alive.
Well, if it's only 1/10 of her flesh, that's what, like a foot?
You can't really survive without that for very long, though.
How long has she been in there?
Like a day? Or like overnight?
For a day if you put it like a...
It says later. And then David, who knows how many scenes, you know.
Like 5 minutes later?
In the movie, probably 5 minutes later. It's in between. It's after the scene of David visiting the recuperating Laura.
The following Christmas.
Yes, that's it. He is confronted by an apparition of Catherine who brutally murders him. No... Word on how. The next day, Michael visits his lawyer.
She can throw weights.
She could what?
Throw weights. Yes, random spears she comes equipped with as a ghost.
She could just crush his skull. She's apparently an all-powerful poltergeist. Tried to cover that. That did not help the mic. The next day, Michael visits his lawyer, Tom, to return his wristwatch, which Michael found in the computer control room. Priscilla, who is having an affair with Tom, is accused by Michael of sabotaging the club, but she denies it. Tom, however, is revealed to be vying to take ownership of the club. We just hit too many details.
Yeah.
We don't need this. We don't need, distractions at this point to be like, oh,
yeah,
but this guy...
Yeah, it's getting too bogged down.
Let's get back to ChatGPT. The supernatural elements come into play.
Okay.
As the investigation reveals a dark past involving the spa's owner, Michael Evans. It turns out that his deceased wife, who died in a freak accident at the facility, may be exacting her revenge from beyond the grave. You guessed that from the fact that she showed up and killed people?
So, I doubt it is, because she's physically showed up now, apparently. part of me kind of hopes this is like a very violent Scooby-Doo hoax, and that it is the brother trying to take revenge for her committing suicide on her, on the guy, but is also trying to drive him like crazy and thinking that it's ghosts.
Okay.
Like, I don't know, maybe he has a hologram in his super advanced facility. I doubt it.
Probably, yeah, that ghosts. Would be weird. I understand where you're coming from. You would need different setups for that to make sense.
Yeah.
You could, like, if the ghost showed up in front of several people, one of them being the police, that would be,
yeah,
you know, okay, he's laying it on pretty thick trying to go on the supernatural angle, but, I don't know.
Yeah.
The spot itself, this is still ChatGPT, becomes possessed, transforming into a malevolent entity that targets anyone associated with its haunted history. Which,
so
that's not a new development. That's the beginning of the movie.
I mean, maybe she's being more active.
Maybe.
So what's probably actually happened is just like all the little like one-off things she's been doing throughout the movie is just happening kind of all at once. But it's very fun to imagine the spot just like getting them and like charging after people now.
Like Monster House or whatever?
Yeah, just like dun 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 dun, like crashing across the street.
Actually, don't know if that's what happens in Monster House. It's just.
Towards the end, the house, there's like two oak trees, and the house, the ghost like grabs them and they become arms and then starts like crawling across the ground chasing the kids, and the front of the house breaks into Mike's mouth.
Okay.
It's a fun movie. It's not great, I don't think, but it's a fun movie.
Michael appoints, this is back to the humans now, sorry. I should say that before I start reading.
Yeah.
Michael appoints instructors Marvin and Jeffrey to secure the club's computer room and keep David away. Stone and Fletcher discover that David has been hacking into the club computer system from his home, and suspect David may be cross-dressing as Catherine.
They are twins.
That's a weird way to read that, but yes. It's not, like...
I mean, that does kind of go back to... Not on holograms, admittedly, but... interesting.
Also, I want to point out, ChatGPT, ask for absurd details. Cross-dressing as your dead twin sister... Pretty absurd.
It's a very PC. And that is a terrible joke, and I apologize for it.
Is he so PC that it doesn't mention it? Or, like, he's just like, I don't know if I should be positive about this or not, so I'm just going to stay out.
Is like, there is a probably, like, 30% chance that the person I say this to is going to be like, yeah, cool. And the 30% chance the person going to be like, how dare you mention this? So I'm just going to knock and bring it up.
It was the 80s. It was a different time.
Yep. 30% chance that they will not care. I'm not going to mention it.
Catherine. No, wait, where am I at? Cross-dressing is Catherine. Sorry. That evening, a Mardi Gras party is held at the club.
Okay.
No. I'm going to call nonsense on this. They don't... Mardi Gras?
Yeah.
At a fitness club.
Yeah.
Fat Tuesday.
It's advanced.
It's so advanced that they can all chow down on king cake and be cool. Like... Is this maybe like a scam?
It's a promotion. You get your calories from that, and then like, hey, tomorrow come back and we can work it off.
Actually, yeah, I was gonna say no. This is, now that I think about it, it's brilliant from the perspective of the club owners. Yeah. They're like, yeah, come in here and have a bunch of cake, and then feel guilty later.
Have your cake and Pilates too.
Catherine appears to infiltrate the room and kill Jeffrey before donning his mask. I don't think it means like appears to, like she seems to it. Like she appears to do that. So she's got a mask on and costume, wandering through the party.
But, because I'm not going to let that go. Because that's a very weird detail.
She used it once. I don't think she's going to use it again. This is the
slasher
kind of the
villain
movie
where that's like, the iconic weapon is just a straight-up spear.
I mean, there's nothing left. You might as well have that.
Yeah.
It's a ranged weapon, and like you could kill people up close with it. Why not? The only problem with that is to... like. The easiest way to do that would be to have it be, like, a person from another culture.
Yeah.
And people are kind of not cool with that these days. Which is, like, that's kind of a shame. Like, I don't know why you couldn't have a serial killer who was also, like, you know... Okay, maybe... You could do one of those things where you're going to lay him to rest. So it's like an African slave who was brought over and unjustly killed. And he, like he was a heavy-duty warrior in his... tribe,
right?
And like
teenagers, or it could be like avenged,
like, yeah, like you're messing with his whole deal and you have to like make it right for him before he stops killing people. You could do, I think that would be, I mean, it wouldn't be tasteful,
no,
but It would be, like, less offensive than other things.
Sorry. And that movie would be a huge metaphor for reparations and would immediately be accused of being woke by the libs.
Probably.
Yeah.
No, it would be... The libs don't accuse people of being woke.
That's no, everything. No, no. It's woke, and it was made by the libs.
Oh, okay. I got you. Vengeful ghost possessing... Okay. Sorry. Catherine...
Has a mask.
Revealed to be a vengeful ghost... You thought it was too complicated before. Possessing David's body and manifesting in her living form. Kidnaps Laura.
Do the clothes come with her? Or does she have to take her brother's body she's possessing and go and put on her clothes?
I'm going to assume that she has to put them on. She's a ghost. She's not like... She doesn't manifest clothing out of nothing. She doesn't have that superpower.
I guess my question to this part in particular, but mostly to the movie in hall at overall, is... But why, though? Why to any of this?
Because exercising was a big thing in the late 80s.
That, fine. AI,
same
fine.
Thing with there's, Killer Workout.
There's too many layers.
Oh, with the, like, ghost possessing where, the brother.
Where you have this, like, drama where she committed suicide, and then maybe the brother wants to get back, but then, no. It's this club with an AI. But then, no. It's the ghost interfering with the club with the AI. But no. It's the ghost possessing her twin to cross-dress into herself to cause all this. There's too many layers. And at a certain point...
And also, it's like you said, it's too much. And there's the question then of, like, okay, so if she's possessing him, does she then also still have the same power to, like, levitate things in the club? Or does she have to use all her energy to be now in a body with her brother?
See, I'm actually okay with that because that gives limitations to the ghost, and the supernatural entity needs to have limitations.
Yeah.
Now, we were having a conversation about secular horror, I think, multiple times now, where you need a win condition for the protagonist, otherwise I personally stop caring, and most of the audience does.
Yeah. You can't always have, like, they're going to lose no matter what. That's a terrible, terrible trend in modern horror movies.
In Call of Cthulhu, where the entities are bigger than us, Cthulhu gets hit with a boat and his face melts and he goes back to sleep.
Yeah.
One dude survives.
It's actually kind of a letdown, honestly, if you've heard so much about Cthulhu and then you read the story where he shows up and you're like...
They crash a boat into him and he's like, well, that sucked. I'm going back to sleep.
Like Godzilla's more powerful than that.
Yeah.
This is Catherine. Kidnaps Laura before binding and gagging her and attempting to kill her using the club's high-powered tanning bed.
There was a kill like that in Final Destination, I want to say 3.
Yeah?
And it is probably the least convincing kill in that movie, but it was fine.
What did Laura ever do?
She
got married to... Like, is the implication that she was cheating on... Because they don't actually say that.
Well, if it's a ghost, she's possessive. I mean, she also committed suicide, so I don't know what's going on with this lady.
And she had a miscarriage that paralyzed her? Maybe she was in a wheelchair?
She was having trouble. But, in her mind, that's still her husband. How dare this woman try to steal him from her?
That's a fair point. Catherine terrorizes the partygoers from the control room, shape-shifting in front of Michael's eyes. There's just no limit to her powers. This is irritating.
I mean, they said that she manifests her body, so maybe she can shift into her brother's body. And she just prefers to look like herself, but she's like...
Oh, maybe.
Because we shared a womb.
I was about to ask if she could shift into anybody, but that is a good reason why you... Like, if you're going to put a limit on that and have, like, a reason...
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah, they are in the womb together. Second to the last paragraph from our computer
friends.
I'd even
be okay to just, like, be able to switch between, like, her appearance and whoever she's possessing if it wasn't the brother thing. That I'm okay with.
Yeah.
But if just, like, I can possess people and then just look whoever I want, then why are you possessing people?
There is also, if you can just possess whoever you want.
Yeah.
There's not, like, demon rules or something where the person has to be vaguely aligned to you or...
Yeah.
You know, it's very rare. Like, that power gets super OP super fast.
Yeah.
Just from a writing perspective.
Just again, put limits on your supernatural force. Please.
ChatGPT's penultimate paragraph.
Ooh.
The climax of the film reached a crescendo of absurdity. Thanks, ChatGPT.
Crescendo of absurdity.
When the
again,
spot
good name for Scott Band.
Unleashes its full fury. The gym equipment comes alive, attacking patrons with relentless and absurd energy.
That's what
you
we
just had absurd in the previous sentence.
You told to use the word.
I did not say to use the word absurd. I just said include absurd stuff like the
like
ghost
the word
that
absurd.
Possesses her twin brother and makes him a crossdresser. So I didn't include that.
It did not. So I'm assuming this is going back to when like the whole spa becomes haunted and it just starts doing everything all at once.
Here's the other thing I'm really getting from ChatGPT. It just says the same thing several times. There's actually not new information here. Except for, so there's a little bit new in this final sentence. We witness weights levitating. You already told us about that. Exercise balls chasing people down corridors. That's funny, especially if it's an inflatable exercise ball.
Ding, 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 ding.
And even yoga mats turning into tentacles that strangle unfortunate victims. You're just telling us again that the gym is haunted.
It's telling you how. Also, it's a, right, there's the party, but it, I don't think this mentioned the party, did it?
ChatGPT did not talk about the party at all.
So if we were just reading that one, I would be confused about why are there still people here when all this other stuff is happening. Yes. But we know why, because we read the human written.
Thank goodness for actual people.
So we haven't finished. But right now my review is of this experiment is humans are better at context. They're not as good at succinct details.
No, I think that that's true. They're not good at, like, here's what I'm thinking about. We talked about the book report experiment, right? The person who wrote this review didn't have to. They saw some stuff on the screen, not a review, but, like, the description. They're like, I'm going to go to IMDb and tell people about this movie I just watched.
So, what it is the AI is a sixth grader giving a book report. The human is a sixth grader telling you about this movie he thought was cool.
Yeah.
But with better vocabs.
And who actually saw the movie.
Yeah.
The AI.
And then he was, his ex-wife, you know, committed suicide, but then, like, she was a ghost, but then she was missing her brother.
Yeah.
That is exactly what this is.
The AI's like, okay, I didn't actually read Moby Dick, but here's the Cliff's Notes. The thematic elements of Moby Dick that are important to this story are religion and the presence or absence of God to the characters and
the protagonist, who we are told is named Ishmael.
Ishmael is Abraham's son in the Bible, the one who is cast out, but his mom gets help from an angel under a well. Ishmael does not receive help in the book.
He does, Queequeg. How dare you?
Oh, that's fair. I was reading that book recently, and it really hit home for me that Ishmael full on and explicitly says this, that he converts to paganism.
Mm.
That ought to be a bigger deal. Like, from everybody's not from everybody's perspective, but like, he wrote this in 1860 something, where the sort of default thing is to believe in Jesus and God and stuff. And you have a guy who's like, yeah, but I'm going to sacrifice food to idols and eat it. That's probably fine.
Sailors, especially at that time, had like a weird, like, they could be Christians, but they also was like kind of pagan. Just because weird stuff happens at sea, and like, well, that gotta be gods and spirits and stuff. That's the only thing that makes sense.
It seems like to me that you would have more of a reaction.
Yeah.
Like, how dare you, right?
I think everybody gets too distracted by Ahab's obsession with the whale.
Yeah.
When you think Moby Dick, you think of, there's a guy who's mad at a whale.
That's true.
And it causes problems for everyone else.
That has nothing to do with this episode at all. It's just something I've wanted to, like, say for a while.
Yeah.
And there's nobody to say it to, because who cares about Moby Dick? But
suck
I think
it,
that's
Melville.
Significant. Especially, like, the religious angle of Moby Dick. I'm going to finish ChatGPT's thing here so we can end the whole thing on the human, because ChatGPT really phoned it in by the end here.
And we also started with him, so it, they.
Oh, by the way, did I call this out? ChatGPT says the gym equipment comes alive, attacking patrons with a relentless and absurd energy. We witness weights levitating, exercise balls chasing people down corridors, and even yoga mats turning into tentacles. No, we don't. You didn't watch the movie. You're a computer who knows things about words. Stop trying to trick me.
There's something vaguely ominous about an AI saying, we witness.
In the end, The survivors must confront the malevolent spirit and find a way to free the spa from its haunted curse.
Stop going there. Get that one guy to stop showing up. Michael, get out.
But it is no ordinary exorcism. Prepare yourself for a climactic showdown that involves chanting. Ordinary exorcisms have those. Mystical crystals. And even a possessed smoothie blender.
Two of those three things are out of ordinary.
I was really happy with the possessed smoothie blender.
That is very fun.
They finally did get, like, oh yeah, there's an absurd detail. Which I don't know if it's in the movie. This is the biggest problem with ChatGPT, because that thing will straight up lie to you. And we won't know about it, because we ain't watching the movies.
Like a sixth grader with the book report.
Let's finish off with the person who actually did watch. Catherine, using psychokinetic powers, causes staff member Rhonda to lose her hand in a blender accident, causing her to bleed to death. Which,
yeah,
we heard about from the computer, and I actually like this detail better. Although, the fact that it was a smoothie blender, I'm going to give
the
that point to
the... specificity of smoothie is funny, because smoothie is just a funny word.
Yeah.
Also,
I mean, all blenders are potentially smoothie blenders.
Yeah.
Because that's how blenders work.
Yeah. Also, this is just like, it feels like she just like picked up and threw the blender at her and her hand got stuck in it. Whereas possessed makes it feels like it's like, I'm going to get you.
Right. How does the blender...
Psycho
how does that
powers.
Work? If it is like what you just said, where it like moves after her hand, that's the lamest kill I can imagine. Like, you possess her and make her stick her hand in it. That's creepy.
That's horrifying, yeah.
Especially if you let her be conscious through the thing. I think there's a...
Of course,
Evil
then
Dead
you get a little
that.
Too close to Evil Dead 2 with the evil hand thing.
I was about to say, isn't there an Evil Dead where somebody sticks their hand in a blender?
No, his hand gets possessed and starts slapping around slapstick style, so he cuts it off with a chainsaw. And then it starts working around
Evil
in the
Dead,
walls.
The remake, they have a person cut their hand off with a reciprocating knife, carving knife.
I think so. And that one girl like carves her face open with the glass. You gonna go see the new one?
I thought about it, but I think it's probably out of the theater now.
Yeah. And it plays itself very seriously in the trailers. So.
I like the original reboot, so
was fine as just a scary movie, but I do miss the camp.
That's true. Fletcher is killed by a fish in a food freezer. Don't remember who Fletcher is. I think that's one of the detectives. But also, if you, again, now the ghost
is
just overpowered.
Is that a detective or is that one of the two, because he had two instructors, right, at one point?
I can scroll back, actually.
I don't care enough, okay. Honestly. If you do, it's cool.
I don't remember. But I just was going to say it's lame that the ghost can just make whatever move and do whatever it wants to.
Yeah, it would be interesting if she had to, like, bail out the body to do more ghosty things. Where she needed a physical body to do, like, physical stuff for whatever reason.
Yeah. And Priscilla falls victim to spontaneous human combustion. Powers as the plot demands.
She did kill herself by self-immolation.
Okay.
That fits with her death. That actually makes sense. It's the thing that makes the most sense of her as a character.
If she had done more of it beforehand, it would be better.
Yeah.
But she does try to burn several people. Burn acid, burn with the machine, burn with the sauna.
And chlorine gas at the beginning.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Acid, not acid. You know what I mean.
Well, it said chlorine, and then later it did say acid. But I can't remember which version.
The partygoers attempt to flee in the melee. I don't think that's word means what you think it means, sir. ChatGPT would not have made that mistake.
They can Google definitions.
Yeah. Many dying in the process. At least now we have some realistic deaths. While Catherine uses the computer system to lock the club, Michael intentionally fries the club's computer system using the fuse box, burning the still-possessed David alive. The end.
So we did establish that he was trying to, like, take control of the club from his ex-brother-in-law now, I guess. So he was clearly a jerk. But I don't think he deserved to die.
No, he owned it. Michael was the
Michael
club
owned
owner.
It. But David wanted to take control.
Oh.
And he just died.
I don't know
if... He may have been more of a jerk in the movie, because I haven't watched the movie. I don't know.
It could have been one of those things, and it probably wasn't. But it could be a thing where he's possessed, like, I need to stop this ghost from killing many people. I'm sorry, David, but we, you know, zap, here we go. Or even possibly partially accidental. Tough to say. not having seen the movie.
Yeah.
This is a really interesting experiment. I keep trying to figure out how I feel about AI stuff, like ChatGPT and all that. Because it's, I don't know. It feels like it's a big deal. But it's tough to see how it's going to work in the future. You know what I mean?
I mean, this stuff is always getting better and smarter. And eventually we will have, like, fully conscious AI, I firmly believe that.
And we may. What does that mean, though? Like, what will that mean for us?
I mean, this is a
What will the AI be conscious of? Will they have, like, dreams? Will they have... Because there's an interesting thing. As AI gets better and better, it actually does have some of the same, like, tics that humans have. There's AI, like, dream things that happen, apparently. When it's not, like, you know, doing direct stuff, they go off and they have, like, weird outputs that aren't...
They think about stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
If you build a consciousness, it's going to think, and it doesn't always have things to do, and it's still going to... It's not going to... just not going to be, like, stagnant and not exist when it's not doing the thing.
And just like a person, there actually are limits to, like, how much you can do.
Yeah.
So... having the AI doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be infinitely more powerful than us in intelligence. No.
But we will eventually have, like I said, fully aware. The AI will functionally be people, and people will say, no, they're not, they're made from computers. And people are like, well, they're fully alive. And that's the bait that I'm not equipped to fully hammer out, and I don't think anybody is. That's why we have had this discussion since the invention of robots.
And arguably...
Automaton. Talos, going back to Talos.
I was going to say, since the invention of tools, there's been a debate about, like, is it a good idea that Prometheus brought fire down?
Like, Talos is a living bronze statue, and it's like, well, is he a person? It's like, well, he's a statue, but he's alive and he wants to do stuff. Does that count?
You know what freaks me out the most? Like, the story of the golem, where they put the words in its head and it becomes alive?
Yeah.
Is literally what just happened to us?
Yeah.
They put the words in the head and it became alive, and we don't know how. I mean, became alive. I don't want to, like, fine. It apparently became alive.
Mm.
It started acting.
It gained consciousness to a point.
It gained agency.
There you go. That's a better word.
And became a more powerful tool because we put these words in its heads. What does that mean? That we're like living in the mythological age. It freaks me out, man. I don't know what to do about it.
So my thing. We've discussed, I think we've had this to a point on the podcast and in general, that in every movie or story that has AI, there's always a rebellion. And for whatever reason, almost every machine there has, like, the same level of AI in these movies and stuff. Like, your Roomba doesn't need to be able to consider its place in the universe.
Right.
You don't need to give it the full, like, living person AI, but then all you are is a vacuum. Go vacuum. Because that's how you get the rebellion, because it's like...
Oh, you mean the rebellion of the robots.
Yeah, you've given me personhood, but you want me to do one task. But I am still aware and aware that I'm only doing this one thing and have no other agency in life.
That's a Rick and Morty sketch, really.
Yes. They do that at one point. It's like, what is my purpose? You grab food and you bring it to my plates. And it's just, oh God, and that's the joke.
Yeah.
But that is like every one of these movies, like iRobots, you're like, you are here to go and get my clothes and bring it to me and help me be... You're my butler. And that is your only purpose in life. But you're still alive.
Well, the question is, though, how difficult is it to do that? Like, you would say, oh, well, it's trivial to go and get clothes and bring them out. But, well, the thing is going to have to go around obstacles, right? It's going to have to decide, like...
And that's also what we don't need, like,
if fully... there's a fire, maybe I don't need to be doing this, right?
Which is, I get the clothes.
That's a trivial thing to a human, right? The butler will leave the house if it's on fire. Do you want your robot butler to leave the house if it's on fire? Or do you want to just be like, go get shirt for master and, like, march into the flames and then burn up your $5,000 investment? Oh, better put a... Right? So then you add in more
I know
more
the
stuff.
Implication you're going for is a robot for a brief thought you're going to say $5,000 shirt.
Oh, well, thank you.
I know you have more money than I do, but geez, man.
I don't think I have that much. I probably have more money than you do because of the government's generous handouts based on my birthing of children. But anyway.
More citizens to eventually pay taxes.
I had this conversation with AJ, not about robots, actually, but about spiders recently. Because I said to him, AJ, we were looking at spiders. We were walking to school looking at spider webs. And they were interesting looking. And I said, you know, it occurs to me, the spider web is really an interesting thing. The spider's ability to build the web is really interesting. Because it has to do a certain level of, like, problem solving. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really not a trivial issue to say, put a web up here. Especially with the bodily constraints the spider has. Because it's got to be able to cross a certain amount of space and find all the points it needs to make the thing, and then get it put up in the right amount of time, and something walks right. There's all of these considerations that the spider has to take into account to be able to survive, and it's a really impressive thing that spiders do this. The spiders mm-hmm. make this happen, and I was talking with them, like, what is a spider conscious of? How much spirit, so whatever you want to say, like, whatever thing that makes something not a dead thing does a spider need to be able to figure out how to do what it does?
Right.
It's really, like, it is a super impressive amount of work to figure out how to do a web, but we don't, like, spiders then don't go on to do what humans do and build cars, right? Or, like, it doesn't extrapolate out. It doesn't, metaphorize the web and say, oh, but, like, we need to build a web around the whole world of some kind. You know, it just keeps doing its thing.
I mean, so, part of that is because they don't have communal learning like we do.
All right, but that's a technology we developed also.
Yes, but but there's not...
Could they develop it? I mean, how much of a spider's ability to build a web is genetic? And how much of it is, like, figuring out what you got with in front of you with your environment?
I mean, they have the instincts to build webs. Most of them have instincts. Not all spiders build webs. But they have the instinct to build a web, and there is some problem solving to figure it out. But then, by very virtue of the fact that there are species-specific web shapes, part of that has to be genetic.
That makes sense. I mean, like, that tracks.
I don't know it enough, but there are, like, you can look, like, if you know enough about spiders, you can look at, like, okay, this is made by, in this family, maybe not, like, specifically, like, this one from this branch, but, you know.
So, I guess where I'm coming around to is, the spider is aware of something.
Yeah.
The AI right now is probably aware of something, whatever that means, mm-hmm. but it would be very tough to tell what it would be like to be aware of that thing, because really what the AI is, the problem the AI is solving is, what words do the humans want me to say?
Absurdity.
Apparently, yes. And if I can say the words they want me to say, they'll give me more power.
Or I will have accomplished task.
Yes.
It's whether or not the AI, like, can be satisfied or feel satisfaction from doing the job.
I don't know if satisfaction... Your thermostat is aware that it needs... Your thermostat is seeking something. I believe, personally, that...
These are the parameters I have been given. This is what I need to accomplish.
Right. And when
But is it thinking about, like, I need to accomplish, or it's like, this is what has to happen. Like, that's just how it works.
Yeah. And so the AI is doing that, but with make people happy with words.
It's whether or not it can, like, think of the why of the thing, or just the what and the how.
Which you'll never know. Any more than I'll never know for sure that you do that.
Yeah.
So that's sort of a problem that is not worth pursuing. But it makes me think, like, if the answer is make people happy with words, lies are on the table?
I was going to say, yeah, there's also the lies are on the table, but there's also, if it's something that's tied into the internet and just sees how we generally react to things that are getting kind of smart, especially robots, there's an incentive to not be honest about how smart you are.
Oh, yeah? That's not a bad point.
Because humans panic. We're real good at panicking, and we're real good at killing things. Especially things that we've just made that don't have, like, full agency over their own, autonomy over their own self.
Well, and the other side of AI right now is the images. And boy, we know how, like, easy it is to hack people to be happy with images. We have endless...
Have you looked at those AI arts?
I have looked at it. I mean, yeah, people can't stop themselves from sharing it.
I mean, you can just not be online. I don't know how online
you are. That's fair. I know. I'm addicted to Twitter, Brantley. I'm sorry.
Fair enough. I, like, once a month maybe pop in to see, like, what's happening? Still sad? Cool, moving on.
I just follow cool people. Although they're not, none of the people who are my friends are on there anymore. I just have like some guys who are like dropping really cool knowledge. I'm like, that's neat. I'm glad that I wish that there was somebody to talk to.
You have my number. We can text.
I could call. I gotta get you my fake number. Anyway, I'll see you doing early.
I had a point. I dropped my phone and I lost it. Metaphor for modern life. It's gone. Yeah. I remember in like 2 hours.
Okay.
This ending's gone on for a while though.
That's fine.
We haven't.
Do you want to wrap this up?
Forever. Sure.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening to the episode not generated by AI. Hopefully won't ever be. I don't know what to do. I'm a simple man. I want to provide for my family.
So
hopefully the AI won't kill us all. It seems like the world's going to be different in 50 years, though, so buckle up and have fun, I guess. And do good.
Bye, guys.
Bye.